Make sure you've got a Bible in front of you. Proverbs chapter 3 is where we're starting, although we'll sort of be in a few different places in Proverbs this morning. Do grab an order of service. If you're a note taker, there's a bit of space there. Maybe take note of anything that might be helpful for you this morning, things you need to pray about, perhaps. If you're missing either of those items or a children's learning sheet, stick a hand in the air and something will make its way to you. God willing, it will be the right thing. Every time that we open God's words, we need his help to understand it, to be changed by it. Some days, we feel our need more than others. For me, today is one of those days. And so we must pray and ask God to be our aid this morning. Our Father God, thank you for your good words in the Bible. Thank you that through it you save lives and you change lives. Father, I ask that you will help me to treat it rightly this morning, to be faithful as I speak from it. And I ask that you would give us hearts that are soft, that are ready to hear it, and in your spirit will be ready to be changed by it. All of this for your glory and our good, we ask. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to read the first 12 verses. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. We thank God for his brilliant word this morning. Families this morning. We're talking about families. And how important do you think family is? Do you see perhaps family something to be tolerated, like in The Simpsons? Everyone's quite annoying, but we're stuck with them, so we might as well make the best of it. Or do you see family perhaps as something that you stick with through thick and thin, like EastEnders? Even if your brother is on the run and wanted for murder, I'm assuming that's a plot line, it's normally a plot line in EastEnders, we'll always be there for each other because blood is thicker than water, whatever that actually means. Or maybe you just don't really have an opinion on family at all. You've just accepted it as part of your normal life. Well, hopefully, it won't surprise you to discover that in the Bible, family is actually really, really important. Two of the Ten Commandments are about how you treat your family. We have God the Father and God the Son. God is family. We, when we turn to the Lord Jesus, we are welcomed into his family. He treats us as his children. And God has created us humanly to grow up in families. That is his plan. That is his design for people across the world. And the reality is that for most of us, we will spend most of our lives in a family of one sort or another. And so when we become Christians and we tell the Lord that we want to live our lives for him, a very large chunk of that living for him is going to happen in our families. That's why in this little mini-series we're doing. In Emmanuel's membership covenants, if you become a member of our church, you make a promise to live a holy life in line with the ethical teaching of the Bible in, amongst other things, marriage and family. These are the closest human relationships that God has given us, and we want to honor him in the way that we conduct them. That's why we're going to talk about family this morning. There are 100 places in the Bible we could have gone to, but I've chosen to stick in the book of Proverbs this morning. Proverbs is a letter, essentially, from a dad to his son. It is a family letter. And he explains to his son what the best kind of life is, the wise life. And it's a book all about wisdom. Wisdom, if you saw down there in our reading, verse 2, for a long and peaceful life. For a life, verse 4, of favor and good success in the sight of God and man. This is God's plans for the best kind of life. These aren't magic secrets that you can follow and make everything perfect. It's wisdom rather than promise. But if you follow God's wisdom, Proverbs tells us that life will go better. That it'll be the best kind of life. And certainly before the Lord, it will be the best kind of life. And it all boils down to, really, if you look at the middle of that passage, verses 5 to 7, to the things we find there. Look at verse 5. It is all about trusting the Lord, not yourself. Because, verse 7, you are not the wise one. You're not the wise one in the relationship. Rather, we should fear, rightly fear, honor, listen to God, because this is his world, and he knows how it works. He is the wise one. And so, I want us to listen this morning to God's wisdom about honoring him in our families. I'm going to talk about 4 or 5 different sets of people. Most of us will be in at least one of those categories. If you're not, please do listen anyway. It may be that one day some of this will be for you. But even if it isn't, you are part of our church family, young or old. God has given you to us and us to you. We need your encouragements. We need your admonitions. And certainly we need your prayers. So please do stick with us. Okay, part one. And this is to children. So actually, children, give me a wave. Give me a wave. You can leave your learning sheets for a minute, all right, because I want to talk to you. Children, those of you who are listening, be honest with me. Do you think you have done a good job of loving your mums and dads this morning? Hands up if you think you've done a good job of loving your mums and dads. Hands up if you don't think you've done such a good job of loving your mums and dads. What about when they made you get out of bed this morning to come to church? And when they asked you to clear the table after breakfast? When they told you you'd have to do your homework this afternoon? When they wouldn't let you wear your Spider-Man costume to church, Joshua? The way you acted this morning, do you think you did a good job of loving your parents, of honoring them? Proverbs is full of descriptions about how children, about how we make our parents feel. Maybe we make them glad, or maybe we cause them sorrow. Oh, that's our point, sorry. Honor your parents by listening to them. We'll come back to that. A few proverbs coming up on the screen. Maybe we make them glad, or maybe we cause them sorrow. We make them sad. Do you think you made your parents feel glad or sad this morning? Maybe we make them rejoice. You know what rejoicing is, right? It's when you make your parents go, yippee! Or maybe we make them bitter That is when we make their lives really hard. Children, how do you think your parents feel this morning? Sad or glad? What do you reckon? Glad, that's brilliant. In these verses, children, and lots of others, Proverbs is telling us that it's really, really, really important how you treat your parents. Do you make them happy or do you make them sad? Because part of loving God and honoring God is loving and honoring our parents, to live in a way that makes them happy. So how do we do it, children? How do you live in a way that makes them happy? Have you got any ideas? Any ideas? Have you got an idea? No. Any children got any ideas how to make your parents happy? Or is it such an unfamiliar experience? You're absolutely... Go on, Theo. Make them laugh. Give them a bit of a tickle. Maybe. That's one way. Rory, what do you reckon? What was that? Oh, Cara's got something. Go on, Cara. Cleaning up so they don't have to clean up when you've dumped your toys all over the floor. Yeah, that's a good idea. Now, there are probably lots of answers. I want to tell you maybe the biggest answer that Proverbs has, children. I'm sorry, you've probably got lots of things you want to say to me. Maybe the biggest one in Proverbs is that we should listen to our parents. We should listen to them. This comes up all over Proverbs in all sorts of ways. But one place it's on the screen, it says, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. In another place, the writer of Proverbs says to his son, hear with your ears, O sons, a father's instruction and be attentive that you might gain insight. So listen, children, just another minute or two for you. You might not like this, but God has given you someone or two people who care for you, who love you, who work hard for you, and believe it or not, probably know better than you. And especially if your parents are people who trust God and want to honor him themselves. When you were very little, and some of you are quite little, some of you are a bit bigger, your parents probably told you over and over again to stop at the curb, don't run into the roads. Why? Is it because they're control freaks? No. It's because they love you. And they knew that your life would get much worse if you got hit by a double-decker bus. And children, as you grow up and get older, you need to understand that I don't think your parents care less about you now than they did then. Sure, as you get older, you get wiser, but actually in God's providence, generally so do they. And your parents will always be worth listening to. What makes your parents glad, not sad? Proverbs would say it is when you listen to them and you follow their instructions, because it makes them happy when you do the things that will make your life go well. Of course, right at the heart of it is swallowing your pride. And maybe I'm talking to some of the older children now, some of the teenagers. It is understanding that you might not be the wisest person in the world. Your parents aren't either, actually. God is. But if you fear him, if you honor him rightly, you'll be able to listen to him and trust him as he asks you to listen to your parents and to trust them. Making your parents happy, not sad. Make God happy, not sad. Before we move on, I just want to give you a little note there. Proverbs 23:22, which has disappeared, but remember it. Proverbs 23:22 that we saw earlier instructs us, amongst other things, not to despise your mother when she is old. Because you see, I don't think that honoring our parents is actually just something for young people. the dynamic might change. But the commands to honor your mother and father is a lifelong one, one that reaches into your parents' old age. All of us who have mums and dads have a duty today still to honor them, to give them cause to rejoice. Maybe it's mum or dad. And so we ought to listen to them. Perhaps all of us who are able this week, very small people or very big people, should ask our mums or our dads what piece of wisdom they think we need to hear at the moment. In the Bible, it really matters whether our parents are glad or sad. But speaking of parents, we've got to move on. Here's part two. We've spoken to the children, now we speak to the parents. And the big theme, it's already up there, is that parents, your job is to discipline your children. Now, first off, I think it's worth noting, elephant in the room, I've just told all of the children in the church to listen to you. And if they're going to listen to you, boy, you better watch what you're saying to them, right? It's a big responsibility. You need to be really careful and really intentional, however old your children are, about the things you say to them. Because God has designed you to be a person they trust and should listen to. This is sort of the main theme of what Proverbs has to say to parents. The godly parent in a family trains, disciplines his or her children. So we see that in a number of places, all over the place actually, apart from the fact he keeps on saying, son, listen to my instruction. So the writer of Proverbs assumes that a father instructs. And there are other descriptions of this main job as a parent. Parents, in this verse, they train up a child in the way they should go. They give them wisdom for childhood, but not just for childhood, for life. They set them on the path of wisdom. They can continue on their whole lives rather than the path of folly. Parents also, in this verse, and many others, are to discipline their children, leading them towards hope rather than death. And actually, that discipline word is probably the one that comes up the most when we're talking about parents in Proverbs. I don't know how you feel about discipline in your family. Some of us don't like it. I guess maybe because discipline is hard work. It takes effort. It takes active encouragement of what is good and wise, but it also takes stepping in and not allowing them to do what is bad for them or bad for other people, not allowing them to do what is foolish. And parents, discipline will not make you popular, not in the short term. But then again, Proverbs reminds us over and over again that parenting is not about the short term. Parenting is about when your children are 30. It's about when they are 60. It's about setting them on the path of wisdom so that they will be wise and godly parents and grandparents in the future. We do live in a world that is messed up. And so it is not always the case, but generally, one day your children will thank you for it. I know how grateful I am today for the stern warnings of my own father those years ago. Have a look at another verse, a slightly scary one. Proverbs says, and it says a number of verses are a bit like this, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Now, there are a couple of things going on there. I might not give answers to all of your questions, but first of all, the rod, right? Elephant in the room again, another one. So many elephants in here, it's hard to move. I'm not going to take a stance this morning on whether you ought to physically discipline your children, okay? Perhaps if you're asking that question, you want to talk to some older, wiser Christian parents who've been there before about their decisions. But even if you don't, there are rod-like things that we must do. You must be able to tell your children no. It is right that there are consequences for things that hurt the family and things that hurt the Lord. And parents, here's one thing we need to be really careful about. We're not talking about punishment. And so perhaps erase the language of punishing your children from your vocabulary. We don't punish our children. Vengeance belongs to God and to God alone. If you are ever acting out of a desire to get your own back on your children, you need to step out and repent of that. And ask for help if you need it. Christian parents, we don't deal in punishment, but we must train and discipline. Because the other thing that verse says is that if you leave a child to himself, he brings shame to his mother. One of the most absurd philosophies of our age is that of child-led parenting, that children should choose what and when they should eat. They should choose where and when to sleep. At the extreme ends, maybe you've caught in the news this week, it's been bubbling up again, where young teenagers are allowed and encouraged to make their own decisions about permanently changing their gender. Decisions that permanently wreck their biology for life. Children need a parent's wisdom and not to be left to themselves. Children have been given their parents as a gift to help them learn to be wise. And parents, that must be your job. We talked about children making their parents glad or sorrowful. Well, the child who isn't trained to be wise will bring shame in the long term. Sadness, not gladness. That might be a hard thing to hear, to think about this morning. I want to say this. This is really important. Parents, if you feel like failures, perhaps, or if you simply don't know where to start, listen to Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence and his children will have a refuge. So listen. If you don't know where to start with that, start with your own heart and a right fear of the Lord. This is where wisdom begins, with knowing God and fearing him rightly. That is honoring him, loving him, trusting him. You are a child of God by grace alone. Jesus has died for you. That cannot be taken back. God has made you his forever. Your strong confidence is not in your parenting skills, but it is in him. And your job, and the job of the parent who feels like a failure, is to say to your children, look, we get it wrong a lot, but we have a refuge in the God who loves us. And as a family, we are going to learn to trust him in our sin and our foolishness and our mistakes. And if your children know that, then you will have done the bulk of teaching them real wisdom. So parents, discipline your children. Now, I am aware that I've not left nearly enough time for this, really. But I want to talk to husbands and wives and just say a couple of things to you guys. And you'll need to take these away, I think, and ponder them and pray about them during the week. Here's the big one for husbands in the book of Proverbs. How do we live as godly people in our families? Well, husbands, be faithful to your wives. There is so much in Proverbs, so much practical wisdom, so much stuff that men need to hear and be brought to repentance over. But if there is one thing that is most prominent for husbands, it is certainly this: be faithful to your wives. If you've got your Bibles open, flick with me to chapter 5 of Proverbs. And men in the congregation, it would be good to read it this week. Proverbs 5, verse 3, speaks of the lips of the forbidden woman that drip honey, whose speech is smoother than oil. Men, in your sin, in your boredom, when you take your eye off the ball, when you are not attentive to wisdom, the affair, the kiss in the pub, the websites, will tell you that it can offer you so much happiness. But Proverbs 5 and the cold light of day, when all is exposed, says that the reality is not honey, it is poison. It is not a new lease of life, but rather it is a pathway towards death. It is not joy, it is ruin. Chapter 6, also worth reading, tells us that he who commits adultery, verse 32, has left wisdom at the door. He lacks sense and he destroys himself. That is not to mention the devastation that he does to his wife and family. And friends, if you are considering it this morning, I beg you to listen to the wisdom of the Lord and run away from it. To confess the temptation and to seek help from your wife and from Christian friends before it is too late. And if it is already too late, I can't make any bones about this, there isn't an easy way forward, but there is always a refuge to be found when we run back to the Lord, even when we make a mess of life. And I'd urge you again to confess your sin and to run from it. Perhaps seek help from the church for what to do next. My door is always open. I know that Andrew would say that his is too. And all of that sounds very earnest and negative. But Proverbs isn't all about the negatives and the warning. There is practical help in chapter 5 too. I don't know if you ran your eyes through it and glimpsed it, but namely, look down at verse 18. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all time with delight, be intoxicated always with her love. And trying to put that simply, sensitively, given who's in the room, and without turning too red, don't give up on the physical side of your marriage. It's in the Bible, right? So I'm allowed to say it. The beautiful intimacy that this speaks of, it is not just for when you are 23, it is for when you're 43 and 63 and 83. Be intoxicated always in her love. You've got to work at your marriage, and part of that work, what a terrible chore, is delighting in your wife's body. Don't go home and ignore that awkwardly. Husbands, if this is a problem in your marriage, take the lead. Talk about it. Well, Gavin said we should. Don't use those words. Probably not helpful. God's wisdom for marriage is that he's given you sex. So husbands, be faithful to your wives. Lastly, wives. Build up your house. Don't tear it down. Again, as with all of the family relationships, growing in godliness in a family means not being in it for yourself, but for someone else. And firstly, as with all the members of your family, that must be the Lord's. Proverbs 31 is a wonderful chapter of the Bible that tells us, amongst other things, that the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. All of these family roles begin with knowing and honoring and trusting God. He is our priority. But after that, and this is, I recognize that this is controversial in the 21st century, but Proverbs says that the wife's priority under God is her husband and her household. Proverbs 12 says that you can be to your husband either a crown or rottenness in his bones. You know, I asked the children, to be honest, so I should ask you if I'm going to be fair, but you don't have to put your hands up, but be honest to yourself, please. Which are you? A crown to your husband or rottenness in his bones? And wives, if you want to fear the Lord and be a crown to your husband, I do realize I'm in very dangerous territory, but I'd summarize what Proverbs says to you like this. Build up your house, don't tear it down. Proverbs 14 says, the wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. In God's providence, he has given wives and mothers often to be the glue that holds a family together. From my own experience, when my mum died, all of a sudden there were five blokes in our family, can you imagine? And we had no idea how to talk to each other or to make family life work. Because it turns out that my mum had been doing the job all these years of building up her house quietly and consistently and lovingly. We were all slightly lost. So we got married. There are ways of tearing down a house that Proverbs talks about. Perhaps the most frequently mentioned is quarreling. That is not to say that wives cause all the arguments. Don't hear that, as there are plenty of Proverbs directed towards quarrelsome men as well. But it does tell us that your words are a really important factor in whether your house is built up or torn down. You are married, you know this, to a rotten sinner. But what is the aim of your words? To tear him down or to build him up? The other way of building your house seems to be Proverbs 31. Wives, go home and read that this week. It seems to be through hard work. Proverbs 31 paints the picture of an excellent wife. She's indispensable. She's more precious to her husband and her family than jewels. She is industrious and kind and cares deeply for her households. And I must let you follow that one up by yourselves during the week. I was going to say a couple of things to grandparents in the room, because there are a lovely couple of nuggets in Proverbs as well. I'll just give you one. Grandparents, children, grandchildren are the crown of the aged. You're allowed to love your grandchildren. You should love them and delight in them. You should dote on them, spend time with them. Make them a priority in your old age. Teach them in the way that only godly grandparents can, how fearing the Lord means that you can face eternity with joy. Grandparents, I'll leave that one with you. For now, as we get to the end, let me just take us back to the beginning, where we started. For the family who wants to grow in godliness doesn't just trust in their own wisdom and understanding. We leave that at the door, and we fear the Lord. We seek his honor. We trust his wisdom because we live in his world. We submit to the one who loves us and who died for us so that we could be in his family forever. And part of being a godly family is obeying his instructions as we trust him. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to pray in just a second. If you're a note taker, if you have a pen handy, why not write down one thing that you think you need to work on this week, or you need to pray about, or you need to talk about at home? If you don't have a pen, make that note mentally. I'll give you just 30 seconds, and then we'll pray. Father God, we thank you for our families. And I ask us that you would help us honor you and fear you in the way that we treat them. Where we need to change this week, please help us to do so. Help us to park our own wisdom at the door. Help us to listen to you and trust you. And I ask that you would help our families to keep growing as a place where we learn to love you, where we learn of our strong confidence in you, where we learn to dwell in the shadow of your wings, to be in your refuge, a refuge that is forever. So please help us and bless us in that way this morning. Amen.